New Zealand has a new Prime Minister. Kia ora, welcome to Emirates Podcast, episode 325. Today is Thursday, December 15, 2016. As predicted, Bill English was confirmed as the new leader of the National Party and therefore Prime Minister, and his new deputy is Paula Bennett. Now, there weren't any surprises in any of that. In fact, I'd been predicting it in the days leading up to it. There was a little bit of a surprise in how easy the contest ended up being. After John Key resigned, Bill English said he was going to seek the position of leader, and so did a woman named Judith Collins, who's MP for Pakaranga or somewhere, I've forgotten. At any rate, she's very unpopular with New Zealanders and even with her fellow National Party MPs. And also another candidate was Jonathan Coleman, who unfortunately is the MP for my electorate and has also been health minister. And he is not a pleasant person. And a lot of people were thinking, what? Judith Collins, they expected because she's long had leadership ambitions, but they thought that Coleman came out of nowhere. But by the end of the week, they'd both withdrawn, meaning that Bill English was definitely going to be selected because he was the only candidate. Similarly, for deputy leader, there was Paula Bennett, who's the MP for Upper Harbour, and also a guy named Simon Bridges, who's the MP for Tauranga. But he withdrew long before this election actually happened as well, so that it was obvious that the new ticket would be Bill English and Paula Bennett. And so there are some accusations that the whole thing was a jack-up, that they were just pretending to do this. They were going through the motions to make it seem like there was life in the National Party. I don't know. But nevertheless, we do have a new leadership team. Now, Paula Bennett is, as I have said, I think in the past, is not a particularly popular person. She was a solo mother at 17, and she benefited greatly from welfare of one sort or another. But when she became a minister, I'd had great hopes for her that she would actually do a really good job for beneficiaries, having been one. But she ended up instead putting the knife in the back of people on benefits and poor people and working people. And so she's very unpopular with the center-left and much of the center-right as well, not too far right. On the other hand, she's very popular with a certain group of National Party voters who do want to stick it to the beneficiaries, who think that they're sucking on the public teat, as they often put it. And so she will have some appeal to those voters. She's also under 45, and she has more charisma than Bill English does, which is not hard to do. And so she can come across as quite likable. And that will probably do them well. Whether it's enough to overcome her negatives, I don't know. Bill English, on the other hand, is a longtime conservative. He's opposed abortion reform, abortion law reform. He's opposed euthanasia, also known as death with dignity. He voted against the civil unions bill. He voted against marriage equality. He voted for a law that would have defined marriage as being only one man and one woman. This is before there was marriage equality, of course, after civil unions, but before marriage equality. And so he has this reputation of being really quite conservative, especially on social issues. And he is always described as an active Catholic. And he describes himself that way, too, as it happens. But when the media uses that phrase, they often follow it with the fact that he's got six kids, if they are trying to define the term active Catholic. Be that as it may. In his first press conference, after the day he made the announcement that he was the new leader of the National Party, he was asked specifically about social issues, and he said being Catholic doesn't define him. It's just, I don't know, informs his behavior or whatever. But he was asked specifically about marriage equality. And this is what he had to say about that.
I'd probably vote differently now on the gay marriage issue. I don't think that gay marriage is a threat to anyone else's marriage. But again, I don't intend to use the position to try and influence those issues. They've been dealt with by the Parliament and by the process of law, and I accept that.
He was then asked specifically why he changed his mind.
Oh, just seeing the, you know, the impact it's had for couples and the fact that it doesn't erode marriage in some ways. It's an affirmation of the concept.
Now, let's pick that apart a little bit. He said in the first part that he would probably vote against it if it was voted on now. which is something that opponents of National and him in particular have seized on as suggesting that it's not good enough to say he would probably vote against it. He should say that he would. The other thing, though, is he said that it's been dealt with in law, and basically he was moving on. And that is actually key to the whole thing, because New Zealand never revisits controversial issues. Once they're done, they're done. We don't keep relitigating the same issue over and over and over again, as countries like the US do, Australia sometimes does, other countries do the same thing. But New Zealand doesn't. So the fact that marriage equality is settled law means it is settled law. There's no point in remaining opposed to something that is done. The country has moved on, the politicians have moved on, and Bill English has moved on. The other thing about that is that I have long said that we should be celebrating politicians who evolve on issues like marriage equality rather than continually holding their feet to the fire over the positions they once had. Because if you look at prominent American politicians, whether it's Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, President Obama, Vice President Biden, any of those people, they all once opposed marriage equality, and they evolved on the issue. And I don't think anybody would hold that against them, the fact that they once opposed it. Let me take that back. There are some people who hold that against them. During the recent campaign, I had a number of Bernie Sanders fans telling me that Hillary Clinton wasn't really for LGBT rights because she had taken so long to evolve on marriage equality, you know, putting aside everything else in her record and so on. Be that as it may, the issue I have is with people who are not willing to just let it go, essentially. And I'm not a fan of Bill English. I'm certainly not a fan of the National Party. I've never voted for them, and I won't in the coming elections either. But I don't think it's fair to hit him over his former opposition to marriage equality or to say that it is insincere now because he said that he would probably vote for it. I don't think that that's a relevant thing to hit him on. If in the future some journalist follows that up and asks him about the probably thing and he says he's not sure, well, okay, that might be fair enough. But in the context of his answer, the fact that it's basically settled law, I think we have to take him at his word that he's evolved, and the fact that he's seen couples who are the difference that it has made to couples, and the fact that, as he said it, in some ways it's reaffirmed marriage, I think that we should take him at his word and move on. However, he is still a social conservative. He still opposes any reform to abortion laws, which could use some reform. And he's still against death with dignity. He's still, as far as I know anyway, this wasn't asked, but I believe he's still against medicinal marijuana, which 72% of New Zealanders favor, and he's opposed to it for some reason. So there are still a number of issues where he is going to butt heads with more progressive members of New Zealand society. Actually, on the marijuana issue in particular, he's going to butt heads with the majority of New Zealanders, the overwhelming majority of New Zealanders who want easier access to medicinal marijuana, and he opposes it for some reason, or has opposed it for some reason. Now, this all brings up the question of what will happen in the election, and first of all, when is the election going to be held? Bill English, has said that he doesn't think that there's going to be an early election, that it will go, you know, full term, essentially, which would mean November of 2017, next year, in other words. However, it's entirely possible he may change his mind and call an early election. And the reason that this matters is because David Shearer, who is the Labour MP from Mount Albert, Helen Clark's old seat, has announced that he's leaving Parliament in December to take up a position with the UN peacekeeping efforts in Somalia, I think it is, some dangerous place like that, because he had done a lot of work with the UN before he entered politics here in New Zealand. And so if there is not an early election, then there would be a by-election in the Mount Albert electorate early in the new year. And so there's not that much time for Bill English to call an early election because there's a six-month window, I believe I said this last time, where if an MP, an electorate MP, resigns 6 months more, 6 months or more from the next general election, there has to be a by-election in that electorate. And each by-election costs about $1 million. So if unless there's going to be unless Bill English announces an early election before that time, there will there will have to be a by-election in Mount Albert. And so far, the leading contender for the Labour nomination is Jacinda Ardern, who she's a List MP at the moment. She was on the ticket for Labour leadership with Grant Robertson in, before the current leader was selected. And I think she would be a really good choice, personally. And she has been a candidate for Auckland Central. She lost it in the last two elections, although she had like a 700 vote. She was only behind by about 700 votes in the last election in a year that did not go Labour's way. So all of that's pretty good for her. And she it is a strong Labour electorate and has been ever since it was created in like 1945 or something like that. So she has, whoever the Labour nominee is, has an excellent chance of keeping the seat. And if she is, then a List MP would move up into Parliament. And there's some discussion about who that would be. There's two people that Andrew Little, the Labour leader, is talking to about whether they would not take the seat so that the next one in line, who was a Chinese List MP before this last election, could re-enter Parliament, which would help the Labour Party with the Chinese community. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with all of this. There's a lot of ground to cover. Bill English apparently said that he wanted any national MPs who were planning on retiring at the next election to say so, I think this week, or at any rate before Christmas, because he's planning to do a cabinet reshuffle early in the new year, something that John Key would have done had he stayed on. The idea basically is you reshuffle your cabinet so that it looks fresh going into the election. And for the same reason, the Labour leader, Andrew Little, will reshuffle his group so that it looks fresher going into the new election. And they will probably pressure some long-time MPs to stand down at the next election. There hasn't been as much talk about that on the Labour side since the announcement or even before. But there have been a few more National Party MPs who have said that they're retiring, and some of them have probably seen the writing on the wall that they were going to be demoted in the reshuffle or maybe locked out completely, go to the back benches. And it was a sort of a preemptive thing for them. I don't know. I guess we'll see. Especially when the new lineup is announced. So over the next few weeks, actually not a lot publicly will be happening over the next few weeks because a lot of the discussions will be held behind closed doors and in private, but it'll become clearer which MPs are standing down at the next election, which ones are going to be opened up to new possibilities, and so on. And the next question then is, how is this going to affect the election whenever it happens? And it has to be said that this will affect it positively for Labour. And the reason for that is it's very difficult under any circumstances for a party to win a fourth term in government. And it will be very difficult, not impossible, but very difficult for National to do that without John Key, because they've built their entire brand around him. He's the party and the party is him kind of a thing. And without their brand star or whatever in the election, it becomes a much more open possibility. The other side of that, though, is that the Labour Party and the Green Party have to look like a competent and ready alternative government, because the rule of thumb, and I've never seen any evidence that this is not true, is that opposition doesn't win elections, governments lose them. So, in other words, people will have to be tired of the national government, or maybe they don't like Bill English or what have you, and they then turn to Labour and the Greens to form a new government. And the chances of that happening are much improved without John Key at the top of the National Party ticket. And it may end up being that we'll have a change of government next year, whenever the election happens. I know that Labour is actively working, has been working for quite some time to get organized well in advance. They didn't know that there was going to be a leadership change for National. Everybody thought it was going to be after the next election. And so, you know, this This has thrown some turmoil in both parties, but Labour has already been working on preparing for the election whenever it happened. And so they're actually in a really good place to make it to be ready whenever the election is. And I'll be talking about that more probably in the new year, not so much any this year unless something really dramatic happens, which isn't terribly likely, let's be honest. And not much happens in New Zealand between now and mid-January anyway. So it's a very quiet time of year because I know I've said this before. Traditionally, businesses would close shop from Christmas to well into January, maybe the middle of January. So the country is really quiet for 2 weeks between, say, starting around Christmas until early January. And even all of January is very quiet in a lot of cases. Some businesses still shut down for the month of January. Others don't. I mean, most don't nowadays, but there are still some that do. And but it's such a quiet time. There's not much going on in the news. There's not much going on with politics during that time. So it's kind of pleasant. But it also means that you'll be spared hearing me talk about any New Zealand politics or related topics until probably sometime around the middle of next month, if things happen as they have in the past. So I guess maybe that's a good thing. Speaking of this month and next, I will not be recording, I'm 99% certain, from the end of next week until roughly the middle of January, second or third week of January. And that's because Nigel will be on holiday starting on Friday, the 23rd, I think they shut up on around midday on that day. And he will be off until early January. And we're going to be busy just having time off, spending time together, doing the odd project around the house, whatever, maybe visiting family, who knows. So I won't be podcasting for sure at all during that time. I plan on podcasting next week once or twice, depending on how my schedule goes, because I have a lot to do before Christmas as well. And then I'll be back in January with more more fun and frivolity, whatever. I don't really have any personal updates. Things are continuing to go well. Tomorrow I see the doctor for the renewal of my prescriptions, which means it's been 3 months since I last saw her. And, you know, we'll see if she wants to make any adjustments or whatever. But, you know, so far so good. And I can't really complain too much. I've talked about some of the side effects of some of the drugs I'm on. One of the ones that annoys me the most is a dry cough I get from the blood pressure medicine. But it is working. My blood pressure is consistently in the pre-hypertension range, and they want it lower. But the point is that it is consistently not high, and that is an improvement. And other than that, I really actually don't have a whole lot more to say today. I basically wanted to update what I talked about on Monday of last week and to, you know, do all the closure to those stories, and that's really about it. I don't think I'm going to be podcasting anymore this week. It's possible, but I don't think so. So if not, have a outstanding weekend, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye. You can comment on this or any other episode of the Amrens Podcast at amrenspodcast.com, where you can also leave a voice message. You can send me an audio message through Audioboo or Skype, where my username is Amrens, and you can email me, with or without a voice message, at Arthur, that's ARTHUR, at amrenspodcast.com. This podcast is recorded and distributed under a Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.